I used to be so sure about everything, confident, you know, I knew exactly who I was and what I wanted. And then one morning I woke up and suddenly it was all different.
Worse, do you mean?
No. Well, maybe a few things, but mostly just different. And that's okay. But I never used to be like this, Kate. I was the guy who had it all figured out. I had no doubts. I had no regrets.
No.
Now I don't. I don't have it all figured out.
Me neither.
But you always seem so certain.
Do you think there aren't mornings when I wake up and wonder, what the hell am I doing in New Jersey?
Yeah.
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 My office is a dump. I answer my own phone and you've seen my paycheck.
But your paycheck is a disgrace to paycheck.
Can you imagine a life where everything was just easy? You know, like where you ask for things and then people just bring them to you?
It's wonderful.
Sorry that I've been living in my head, holding on to words I ain't said yet. I'm bitter, sorry, I just can't see you with someone that isn't me. You should know I've been trying to find my peace. I know it's difficult being with me.
Hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Dim.
Andrew just farted.
You did?
How can you tell from so far away?
We can smell it.
Yeah.
He who smells it.
But then by that logic, like, I feel like I feel like you did something.
I'm not sure if I get that logic.
I don't know what's happening.
Well, moving right along.
Yeah, you should. Speaking of farts in the wind, we have a movie to review.
Okay.
This week.
So, this week. Mm-hmm. This week, I asked us to watch a movie starring Robert Redford and Sissy Spacek. About a man.
An old man and
an
a gun.
Old man with guns.
Here's the thing, though. That's not what's on the list. We can talk about that movie. I still don't like it.
Yeah. Apparently, Andrew, Damien has said we have to talk about this movie. So you may know.
I didn't
summarize it.
Who picked this movie?
It was some idiot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So from the people who brought us Some Idiot, this movie is the directorial debut of Mr. Paul Dano, or as I like to call him, Mr. I Get Punched in the Face a Lot, Dano. The film in question...
He's the third leg of the tripod, clearly.
Yeah, yeah. And he got punched in the face in that movie.
Debut.
The film in question is entitled Wildlife. It's a film set in the 60s, I believe, with Jake Gyllenhaal and Carey Mulligan, about a family that has a bit of a trouble. A marriage on the rocks as a man loses his job and decides to go and fight fires.
You know what they call trees in a forest fire? Fuel. You know what they call the trees left up when the fire goes by? They call them the standing dead.
Mom, is Dad okay?
Of course he is.
His pride got hurt. That happens sometimes.
You don't have to worry about anything.
Damien.
Hi, and welcome.
You didn't pick this movie.
No, I did not.
So, Douglas, you picked this movie.
Yes,
what would you like to tell us about this film?
Okay, so I started watching it, and immediately there was a little bit of a disappointment because They weren't in the jungle or, you know, outside, outdoors. Mm-hmm. They didn't go camping. So it didn't quite make sense to me.
You thought it was in the jungle because the name of it was Wildlife.
Well, the name
you?
Of it is Wildlife. Mm-hmm. And I kept thinking to myself, it's fine, because clearly what's going to happen is that they're going to go on a family outing. They're going to go, you know, camping or maybe on a safari, and things will get better. They didn't get better. This movie, guys, is bad. I really don't like this movie. I think the technical term is boring. And yes, Damien is here, you know, miming some mm-hmm. level of agreement. Yeah. But this movie, I guess we have to start and say that, you know, the teams, they played hard. But
yeah, both teams
did play hard. They did play hard. I think the technical side of the direction, the acting, pretty decent. And you know, I said it before. I think we mentioned it on this podcast last week, and if not, maybe it was offline. But I started to have my doubts, because for a long time I've been really looking forward to this, because this ticks all of my boxes. And I know
it's in the jungle.
We all get excited for the same reasons, right?
I've started to doubt that very heavily in the last few years.
No. What I mean is not the same exact things, but the same high-level principles. So if there are certain names attached to a movie, we're going to watch them, right?
Unfortunately.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that this was your movie that you would watch, but for me, Jake Gyllenhaal, Carey Mulligan, mm-hmm. To a lesser extent, but Carey Mulligan is great, and still Paul Dano. Yeah. Right? So those are three names that I'm definitely, you know, taken by themselves, I might think about it, but if you put all of those three things together, come on. There's no way I'm not watching this movie. And this movie just really became, it's one of those films where if you don't like films like this, you don't like this film. And there's no getting around that. There's no mistake that could happen, right? So there are movies that are like that, where they're within a certain, whether it's genre or type, that just are so, they transcend that. So that, yes, obviously, if you like, I don't know, horror films, you like this one, but then there's something else to love. And with this movie, it felt like that was not there. It felt like it was just what it was, which was, you know, this character study of people who, you know, made faces because they got sad and, you know, had problems with their marriage, because that's what people do. And, you know, did small things that were, you know, somebody who loves this kind of movie would say, oh, it was great because of all of the turmoil underneath. It was like the calm ocean and the current beneath it. But fuck that. This movie was just goddamn boring. And I'm at the point, especially now, where I cannot. There's a certain level of my brain cells that I can essentially give to things like this. I used to try, and even when I watch movies that I used to love, I feel it when I'm like, oh, this is that kind of movie where I probably tried to like it more than I actually liked it. But no, I can't try anymore. And this is definitely a movie I'd have tried to like, because it has things that people, that you could like it for, right? It has the performances, like great performances. And there are things that you could try to say, oh, there was subtlety in how the story did X, Y, Z. But no. My review is just me rambling about how much I hate this film. And yeah, this one. So last week's review, I said FTM because I got upset that it wasn't what I wanted. This movie is FTM because FTM. It's not cool. Damien, please just take me away from my misery.
you said a while ago that you were trying to like this movie. Mm-hmm. I came here tonight hoping that either you or Andrew could give me a reason to like this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It is like it is why I didn't want to go first. It's usually when I come in here spitting fire. I'm 100%. But as you said, the teams played so hard, especially in the mm-hmm. acting department. Mm-hmm. Part of me was just like, maybe there's something I'm not seeing.
Oh, and by the way, just to back up, another name attached to this. I'm pretty sure Zoe Kazan wrote the script.
Yes.
Right? So.
Right. While you two are horny for Dano and Kazan.
Oh, very much so.
I don't share in your level of horniness.
Wow.
But Jake Gyllenhaal is one of my favorites. And Mysterio. I don't have any reservations saying that Carey Mulligan is one of my favorites. She's in An Education, Brothers, Drive, Great Gatsby, Inside Llewyn Davids. Like, she's been in enough things that I love and will love forever. That anything I see her in, I
you like get Brothers? Excited.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think I've ever heard anyone say really positive things about that movie. Like, I feel very much about like Brothers the way I feel mm-hmm. about this movie, where they're good, but they're mm-hmm. not a movie that I'm, like, in love with or anything.
Brothers is the one where it's, like, four guys and one of Wahlbergs is in it, and it's a
It's also
movie,
Jake
right?
Gyllenhaal and Tobey okay. Maguire and Natalie Portman mm-hmm. is in that movie.
I know what movie you're talking about. It's the one with the army guy that comes back. Right. Okay.
Yeah, the wife cheats with some other man or whatever.
Either of those movies.
Yeah. This movie, though, it sucks. It really does suck. It is not entertaining. They waste their time with the little boy, like at school. None of that is necessary. Because while you're seeing what is happening through his eyes, it feels unnecessary. Like, the story could have been told, at least from my perspective, better if you just picked one of the adults. Probably Carey Mulligan's character, because she's the one doing all the business. But showing it through his eyes. And I understand what they were trying to do. They were trying to show, you know, how broken families affect children. And I get it. The problem is, this movie is not engaging. It is not... I mean, I don't like using the word entertaining in this type of movie. The movies that are dealing with these kind of topics, like, they're not there to make you, you know, be happy or whatever. But it felt like one of those, but not a good one of those. It's just this is a story about a relationship that has gone completely to shit. But because they set it from the child's perspective, it's hard for you to get a sense of why. Like, you pick up and everything seems all right, and then the husband loses his job at the golf course, and he's just like, all right, listen, I'm not going back to work for these people. And so she gets a job, and the little boy gets a job, and you're like, yeah, I can see how the financing would put a strain on any relationship, especially back in this time. But from there, the switch happens almost instantaneously. She's just like, I no longer like this man.
Yeah, which was ridiculous. And I mean,
like, it felt like there's a part there where they should have given us one more scene to kind of ease us into what is happening. But I get that they're trying to show it from the child's perspective, and mm-hmm. children are oblivious to everything until it turns to shit.
Yeah, and also, so I get that. We have to understand that we're clearly coming into the middle of a relationship that isn't... It's not like we're coming into the good part.
Right.
We're starting when there's already been trouble. Right?
But the first couple scenes with the husband and wife, you didn't get a sense that this was immediately going to turn to shit. Like, the second he loses his job, everything immediately go. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the movie, there's revelations and people saying things about the character.
Bible that... is in this movie?
Stop it. Stop it. That you didn't... I didn't really get a sense of. Like, they called him...
Was that what the rich guy did? He was a Bible salesman? No. I mean, it makes sense. That's a really good business to be in. All sorts of suckers by the Bible, right?
Something sharp to stab Douglas to death. Goddamn idiot. I like how you double down or you shit the joke. I'm not giving up. I'm going to sell this until Damien laughs. I know him.
Alright, fine.
There's nothing there for me in this movie. And these are the type of movies that frustrate me the most, because everything is set up for me to like the movie. And there's nothing glaring that you can point on and go, I don't know what in God's name these people were thinking when they came up with this. Like, they're just telling a story. It's just a story I don't want to hear. But as you said, the teams did their job. The direction is good. So hopefully Paul Dano makes some more movies. Yeah. The writing sucks.
Well, the one thing I'd say for the writing, and there's a bit of a difference mm-hmm. here between two of these things, but
the overall
it is based
story.
On a book. Oh. And so the book has that framework, yes. right? So obviously you as the movie writer can do things with that. But,
and should.
Yeah.
And should.
But the framework in this one maybe wasn't so, you know, or at least it wasn't geared towards us.
Well, yeah. I would prefer that... the next time he gets a more interesting book/story. I've never been Paul Dano's biggest fan, nor Zoe Kazan. I don't know why you two love her.
Because they're great!
Except I've shown throughout the years, systematically, that so you guys are incorrect.
I actually can't remember why I like Zoe Kazan, and I'll figure that out shortly. But I can tell you exactly why I love and adore Paul Dano, uh-huh. and it's as with anything for us, right? The stupidest reason.
Uh-huh. Drinking milkshakes?
No, not even that. Mm-hmm. That would be justifiable. I cannot justify why I love Paul Dano.
Okay.
All right. Do you remember in, say... the early thousands, I believe it was 2001.
Unfortunately.
No, 2000. Uh-huh. There was a film.
Yes.
Starring Emile Hirsch. And a number of other people who I can't remember at the moment.
You don't even remember Mr. called, O? Mm-hmm.
I was going to call him for last. But yeah, Timothy Oliphant was also in this film. And this actually... is also why I like Timothy Oliphant.
The Girl Next Door?
The Girl Next Door. That movie, which I've watched recently, I realize it's not as good as I thought at the time. I adored it when I watched it in my young teenage years. And
I get you, but why
Paul Dano was the third leg of the tripod. Emile uh-huh. Hirsch and his two other friends, one of which is Paul Dano.
Okay.
And so I loved him from that movie. And anytime I see him, I'm like, ah, that guy. And of course, it did help that he, his milkshake was drunk.
Not Little Miss Sunshine?
No. Okay. Actually, I didn't really think that movie was that great
cool.
at the time.
So then there's There Will Be Blood, which...
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
I didn't like Gigantic. Taking Woodstock
is trash.
Yeah,
Gigantic was bad, so is
Woodstock. The Good Heart is trash. Uh-huh. The Extra Man. Night and Day. He was good in Minx Cut Off. He followed that up with Cowboys and Aliens, the less said the better. Bean Flynn, who was in Loop of a Half Second. Mm-hmm. Prisoners, People Keep Trying to Convince Me It's Better Than It Is. And Swiss Army Man, Yo Dog. Okja.
Ruby Sparks, man. I believe he's in Ruby Sparks.
Listen, I liking Paul Dano is one thing. Loving him, I don't get. I don't get it. Zoe Kazan, same. I don't understand. But he clearly has some directing chops. And so I'd like to see him, you know, continue. Because so, that's not the issue with
you know
movie.
What I didn't realize until recently bland. Is that Zoe Kazan is from like a Hollywood royalty. Her father directed
Ilaiya Kazan.
Yeah, her mm-hmm. father directed some serious movies.
Give a shit. What does that have to do with her?
But no, yeah, I know. But what? Why did I love her?
It's just
her?
Like Soko. Is that why you guys like Soko?
No, Soko, I like her because she...
Because she makes bad movies?
Vampire. Oh my gosh. Virgin Suicides. To be fair, they were so white, they could have been vampires. But Virgin Suicides is why I love her so much. I just adore that movie.
Yo, dog, I'm looking at Zoe Kazan.
I know. I can't catch the first one because I remember I loved Fracture when it came out, but I did not know her at the time.
I like What If.
Mia Norson Wells was all right, but again.
I like What If. She was in Meek's Cut Off for a half second.
I remember seeing her in a weird movie for
it's
a half a second.
Complicated for a half second. Revolutionary
was
Road.
Was it The Exploding Girl? She was somebody's cousin.
In the
cousin.
Valley of Eli. The Savages, she was like,
I like her? Because I knew her from Meek's Cut Off a long time. Anyways. So it's before that. But then, like, I watched Revolutionary Road, but I don't really remember that.
Yeah, because watched it with Andrew. Not great.
Listen, the Savages?
But the point is,
why do I? I don't get it.
This movie is bland.
Maybe it's Ruby Sparks. Maybe that's what really.
It had. All the talent you can have to get a movie like this done and done well. It just didn't. And it feels like it's the story's fault. It is not anything else to do with the movie. When I say the writing is bad, I don't mean like the dialogue. The dialogue is fine. Everyone did what they were supposed to do. It's just the movie. Like, and especially how it ended. Like, if you guys are going to do all of that shit, I understand that you needed the picture to put on the poster, that ending shot, but the rest of this, it's just a boring movie. That part of me, like Douglas, part of me wants to like because of the people in it. But I know it's bad. So I came here today. I was like, all right, let's hope these two can, you know, put in a good word so that I can go, maybe I do like some of those things. But Douglas is just like, I no longer have the time to devote to movies that aren't good, pretending that there's some goodness in there. So it's.
Yeah, I can't do it anymore. I remember there was one movie with Joseph Gordon-Levitt that I went hard for. Yeah. Those kind of things, I can't do it anymore. My top 10
Which
will be fucking Marvel
that?
Movies. I can't remember. It had something 50-50? To do with like... No, not 50-50. It was a serious movie and it was and it was an indie one. And I think it like was cut in half and he did two things differently. Was it like yellow? There were color schemes and things out there. I think there was a yellow color and another color or something like that.
I remember something like that. I can't remember the name right now. I don't think I actually watched that movie.
Yeah, I think I actually put it on my top 10 list is how hard I tried to like that movie. It probably would. It was early in our tenure, so maybe it was like 2012, 2011.
I know you're not talking Premium Rush. So
No.
Hesher is probably.
Hesher? No, not that. That's the one with the weed thing. Let's see if I can find it. Oh, I'm looking at 1988. No. It has to be after.
You're making shit up. Stop Loss? That's the military one.
No.
Women in Trouble?
Absolutely not. Was it before or after The Brothers Bloom?
You're talking about Havoc, I believe.
Am I? When was that? What year?
05?
05.
It's not a real year.
Havoc, let's see. Two affluent suburban girls clash with a Latino gang?
That's racist.
I don't remember. Anne Hathaway was in this movie? I don't know if I
maybe it's not that, but I remember that movie you're talking about. I don't remember what it is.
uncertainty, I think. Let's see this.
Probably.
Young
that
couple
sounds like
in
it.
Love facing a life-changing... Yeah, life-changing decision. Fine. Yeah. I think this is it. Yeah. Cleaved in two by the flip of a coin on the Brooklyn Bridge. Yeah. And there was like... There was a color scheme to it. I remember yellow was one of the colors. I can't remember what the other one was. But like literally you would know where you were because of the colors that they were using.
Okay.
I'm sure if I watch it now, I'd be like, yeah, fuck this.
He was in Looper though.
He was. And he was in Brick. And he was in...
The Darkest Night.
The Darkest of Nights.
And the Inceptions.
Mm-hmm. He was in Inception?
Of course.
Where? What was
Excuse
he?
Excuse me?
What's I haven't watched that movie in a long time.
This is like a
joke. Oh, Inception. Yeah. You know, okay. So when you said Inception, in my mind, mm-hmm. I was thinking space travel. Which one is that?
Damn you, Douglas.
Interstellar.
Interstellar.
God damn it, man.
Yes, he was definitely a big part of Inception. Like, there's no way on earth that exactly. I'd forget that.
He was also in Third Rock from the Sun.
Yep.
No, Damian, he was in Angels in the Outfield.
Oh, my gosh. Do you remember that movie, Andrew?
I do.
You remember how you guys conned me into watching Mysterious Skin?
I don't remember Mysterious Skin. Good. Which one is this? I saw it in the list, but I was
As like, a movie about not remembering what happened in your childhood, it kind of works.
That is very good.
Let's check this out. What is Mysterious Skin?
I'm sad that no movie from that guy I've liked since then.
2004.
Well, he is still awful for me. So
teenage hustler and young man obsesses with alien abductions, cross paths together, discovering what?
Yeah.
Elizabeth Shue. I did not watch this movie.
Yeah, we did.
There's no way I watched this
movie. For this podcast, that is a guarantee.
What's this movie about?
Picked that movie and forced us to watch it. Because there's no other reason why I, Damian White, would have watched that movie.
It is one of the many reasons why when you watch strange movies at home, your mother says, is this a podcast movie?
Yes. She's just like... It still amuses me a lot when she... Halfway through a movie, she's just there's like, I know what's
trauma?
Happening here.
Where is the goddamn Wikipedia page? Just tell
That's
me what
not
this
good.
Movie
But
is.
Andrew, you seem to be avoiding talking about this movie.
I mean, I don't know what to really say.
You love it?
Not really. I don't dislike it. I think it's a fine film. I think you guys have touched on all the real positives of this movie. Mm-hmm. I don't think I have as much of a problem with the story as you guys. But then again, I'd like to put myself under the team that tries harder.
Yeah. Oh, you think you're better than us?
I know I'm better than you.
Fair point.
Cool.
I mean, you survive in the snow, and that's a thing I cannot do.
I'm just going to like throw some ice on you, and you'll fall down.
I probably would. I'm not equipped.
So you sure I watched this movie?
Douglas, we did this for the podcast.
I'm literally reading through a blow-by-blow of what happened in the film.
Yeah, that's not going to help
blank.
You, Douglas. Yeah. Because you reading the synopsis won't help you.
This is Wikipedia. Wikipedia tells you exactly what
No,
happens.
And I'm telling you, you reading that is not going to help the situation.
But what I say about this movie that we're talking about is one thing I also missed out on because I thought it was going to be there was at least one rap verse, one straight off the dome freestyle.
Yeah, like the last movie.
What?
Yeah.
How the hell did that even something you'd expect?
Isn't that how we end serious movies now?
Of course it
is. In rap battles?
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen. Because Diamond T or T Diamond is in this film. Whatever his name was. So what I realized...
I'm actually upset, Damian, that Douglas knows whatever pretend rappers he's talking about.
What I realized...
I thought
right?
we had all collectively agreed that we're too old to know rappers anymore.
Hold on. You see, you think I'm talking about a rapper.
Mm-hmm.
What I realized he's while not. I was looking at the IMDb page for this movie and thinking, I feel like I've seen this child before. I have seen this child before. Yes. Andrew, would you like to know where I've seen this child before?
Not really.
I saw this child in The Visit, where he
was killing the game.
Played a budding rapper. Yeah, yes. Killing the game is quite accurate.
His raps were pretty good.
Oh, that was great. That's a movie I should watch again. Fuck this film.
The Visit sucks. You know how I know that? M. Night made it. And he's incapable of making a good movie.
You sure about that?
Everyone I've spoken to that has gone to see Glass has come back going, Damien, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but James McAvoy.
Oh, yeah. I love him more and than...
Wasn't there another movie with James McAvoy?
No, I'm going to watch... Yeah, I know that movie's bad, though. I just don't care. Like, Andrew already told me. It is the reason I asked Andrew. Andrew thought I was being facetious, but the only reason I'd have gone to see Glass is if Andrew said it's 60% McAvoy and I've gone, I need to go watch this right now.
I think if it was 51%
McAvoy. But he's just like, might be a third. I was like, also, for 2/3 of this movie, I don't get McAvoy? Then no, hard pass. Listen, I like me some Die Hard. I also like me some Sam Jackson. But Die Hard, aka John McClane, hasn't been good in a movie for almost a decade now.
Is that how long it's been since? Do you consider the fourth one a good one?
I consider it a fun one.
Yeah.
They made A Good Day to Die Hard after that. Ooh, which solidified that the fourth one is the last thing I have to grasp onto. Sam Jackson is good only at extremes. He does not play an extreme in this movie. This is the Sam Jackson that thinks we come to see him act. And I'm sure he can, but that's not what I go to movies for. I need him to be on at 100%. He's basically Nick Cage at this point. That's the Sam Jackson.
So essentially, every time he reads a script, you want him to go, all right, I could do this if they just add one line that says, yes, they deserve to die, and I hope they burn in hell.
Tarantino knows how to use it. And prove that in The Django.
Oh.
Right? He was tremendous in The Django. You're right. And Hateful Eight, right. The rest of the world is wasted my time. Like those Marvel movies, every time I see him, I'm just like, is this the movie where I get full Jackson? And they're just like, no. We still think we're making proper movies. It's not what I want. So, I don't... Listen. M. Night sucks. Like, we just need... to accept the truth as the truth. We've been playing this game for long enough. All right? I was right. I called it in early 2000. And everyone gave me shit, especially Andrew. Andrew told me, like the rest of the world, that he was the next Spielberg. I told y'all to fuck off. And then he kept proving me right. But no one wants to accept that I'm right, which is very annoying. Like, Andrew, you and Douglas accepted that seasons 3-6 of Game of Thrones was hot trash. You're just like, all right, fucking whatever. We're still watching it, but and then season 7, they did it right. And I gave you guys props. Season 7 is tremendous. So just look at me. Tell me M. Night sucks. You know it. You know it in your heart. Happening. After Earth. Airbender. Like, anyone that gave you those three movies, you'd have written off. Just go, no. I want anything more to do with this person. He's made 10. How the fuck did he get to make 10 movies?
Damn, Spike Lee has made like 1,000.
Yeah, movies. But Spike Lee is an icon in the black community. He's basically my dear. He's getting loose Madea money is what he's getting to make his racist shitty films. But M. Night isn't getting that. Like, who keeps giving him money?
how is this happening? He sucks. This should have been his opus, and everyone, I've yet to hear one person come out of that movie and go, yeah, that's what I wanted. Everybody's just like, fucking whatever. I don't get it. Someone's going to give him some more money. That is what is truly annoying. Someone is going to give him more money. Why? Give him why? Anyways, give him... I know what we can do to get rid of him once and for all.
Mm-hmm.
Warner Brothers need to call him and give him the Justice League reboot, and then we'll never see him again. It'll be the last time we hear of M. Night. Call it a day. Anywho, what is this podcast? What do we talk about? All
right. We're moving right along.
Right. I have some things to complain about. One, tried watching the Sisters Brothers again. Got even angrier. Like, at some point, I convinced myself. I'm just like, I think I might have been in a bad mood. There's no way what I remember that movie being is that movie. Because I, like, looked at the list of people that was in the movie and went, let me give this movie another try. Douglas, don't watch The Sisters Brothers.
Is it that bad?
Yeah, dog.
Wow.
Yeah, it's worse the second time around. And I didn't get all the way through, but it is worse the second time around. It is a movie devoid of jokes.
Hold on. This is a movie called The Sisters
Brothers. Yeah, Douglas. It is weird. Oh. And we spoke about this on the End of the Year podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But watching it a second time, I'm just like, fucking John C. Wright. What annoys me the most is that I think they think the movie they wrote was funny. Like, someone thinks that. Because it's not played as dead serious as I remember it. But it is not. There's no jokes. No, Douglas, none. None. There's enough setup where you're just like, I can't see where this...
But no. You think they tricked the actors? You think that the actors went and said, guys, I'm reading the words.
Yeah.
Right? And I hear you, but this is not funny. And then the director just said to them, don't worry, we'll cut it all together so it works.
Like, yeah, they probably saw the trailer and went, he did it. He made it funny.
Yeah, because that trailer.
I didn't find any other show. Because it sucks. This movie sucks. I want to go back in time and tear whatever one FTM off of the list and put Sisters Brothers. Yeah, movie sucks so hard. I spoke to Andrew. I don't even remember when it was. I was telling him that I watched the first episode of The Flash and
Flash
fell asleep. Just like, oh my, like, woke up and was like, what the f-? I was like, all right, let me rewind and see how much of this I missed. And it was like 25 minutes mm-hmm. of a 42-minute show.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back and watched it and fell asleep a second time, like before the end. I just went, so I had to talk to Andrew. I was like, Andrew, I watched the first episode of this Flash shit and it sucks. Does it get better? And Andrew's just like, no. I went, that's not good. But I kept watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And Sherlock Wells is the only thing worth my time.
That guy has proven himself to be a really good member of that team. Just generally, his shenanigans that he gets up to. And every year they're like, all right,
we need to find some other twist.
Exactly. Yeah.
And this one's fun. This one is the fun one. Mm-hmm. It's not a serious one like the last one.
Right.
So I prefer that. And it's clear that he is enjoying himself.
Oh, yeah.
The rest of his show, though, is not enjoyable.
Even Cisco is not what he once was.
This show sucks, Douglas. It is... Is this season of Flash worse than any season of The Arrow? Is The Arrow still a worse show than this? I need some way to measure.
The Arrow is still worse.
God damn it.
I don't know how to gauge The Arrow.
God.
The Arrow is just so bad that I think
Damien.
Jesus.
The arrow is with the police. Is a police officer now?
Yes. God. He is.
Like, gave up on Supergirl just altogether.
Oh, it's. That, I was just that like, show's horrible.
I'm done. Like, people keep telling me that Legends of Tomorrow is still worth watching, but I watched two seasons of that and was just like, I'm out.
I did kind of enjoy it at first, but
I'm
not even sure what
I don't care what happens at this. So it was literally down to the Flash. I'm just like, sports is finishing.
And so they introduced in, I think it was the, is it Arrow or Flash? Mm-hmm. Maybe it was in one of those crossover things. Batgirl. And I have a feeling, I might be wrong.
I heard they greenlit it.
That, yeah, there's going to be a Batgirl TV show now.
Hard pass. Because.
But it's the girl from John Wick 2.
Is that why she looks so fucking familiar? Okay. All right.
The one that he fights in the end?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. Still no. Because she couldn't act in John Wick.
Oh, no. And she cannot act here.
Mm-mm. So, and if you can't muster up any acting chops, for, like, come on, muster up some acting chops for John Wick. She did not. So, I'm very scared, but I won't be seeing any of it, so it doesn't matter. But why didn't, like, some heads up would have been nice. You guys could have just gone. Damien, don't watch The Flash.
At this stage, Damien, I can't gauge trapped? What's good or bad. It's
I thought
a requirement. It's an obligation, right? Okay. Like the best that I've come up with is that I have not watched Black Lightning in about 3 months. Mm-hmm. Now, whether I will cave and start watching it again is another story.
Never gonna. I haven't seen any. No.
Because that got, when, I think what happened is I had such a, because of what I was used to watching, I had such a low bar for it.
Yeah.
That when it was not hot garbage,
I
thought it was great.
This is okay.
Because I was like, oh, this is fun, the first season. But no, I guess my eyes have been opened and it is hot garbage.
Oh, yeah. I saw that from the trailer and I was not on board with any of you people. Watch all of Luther with my sister. Mm-hmm. Going to be the deleting this season. Going to pretend this season didn't happen. I waited a long time for something real mediocre. And the only reason I'm not calling it hot garbage is because the two people that I like are still in the show. They did their jobs. The storytelling, not so much. So what I'm going to do is delete this and pretend it didn't happen.
Are you sure? All right. So question for you, because I have similar feelings, but not as strong. But I always ask myself this, and I've been meaning to watch it a second time. Do you think that your dislike, or for me, the fact that I think it may not be as good as the rest of them, is maybe just because they go a route where you don't want them to go? The fact that at the end of the show, they claim that one is dead and one is arrested?
I mean, that doesn't help. But
the whole way through, they all just, they kind of start to become worse persons than you originally thought they were. Like, feel there are certain codes and things that don't part, get, you know.
Like, after season 4, I'm just like, these two people are the worst people. Like, Luthor is pretending that he was still on the right side of the law, but he's a garbage person. That part is not where I had any issue. It is that the first, from season 1 to 4, the escalation in their relationship and the things they were willing to do, it kept good, like it kept ramping up and up and up. But it just felt like they did this season because people kept bitching. And like also, it felt like they ran out of story.
Also, is it the fact that they then turned on each other?
No, like all of that, like this, all of it.
But
like,
then again, the more I keep talking, is essentially what I'm really doing is I'm describing the story not being good.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah. It's just like, it's not, the bar they set was so high that even if by any other TV show standard, you'd have gone, yeah, this is okay.
But you see, the thing is,
but that's not what I don't come for just okay.
Similar to Flash and thing where I have an obligation. I too have an obligation to this show. To not dislike it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Right? Yeah, that's why I haven't said it's hot garbage. If it was called another TV show name, I'd have been on.
If it was called Juan Luther.
Right. I'd have gone. Yes. This show sucks. But what I'll do is forget this ever happened and move on with my life. You can tell there is no NFL.
Yeah.
And so I had a lot of time on the weekends. And so I got myself some TV watching in. Flash sucks, Luther sucks, Sisters Brothers is still a travesty. There's something else that I saw. Oh, Andrew Robinson.
Hi.
Is now a good time to have our Suspiria talk?
Sure.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to turn off my microphone now.
Yeah.
Wake me up when you guys are finished.
Andrew Robinson, I like the new Suspiria.
You know what?
I like it. I like it. It.
The first shot has been fired. I'll be the commentator for this battle of wits.
And part of it may have been because Andrew warned me. Like, Andrew's just like, all right, listen, this new one. Because the first one is lunacy, right? But it is a kind of lunacy that you look at and go, boy, drugs must be really good. Because holy shit. Holy shit. Right? I was so blown away by the fact that that movie exists. That, like, the feelings, and there is a lot of feelings. Like, halfway through the movie, they stop telling a story. They're just like, here are the scenes. And then the director ends the movie. With this new one, they tell a story. No. Is the story good? No. But, if you saw the first one, the mere fact that they were able to tell any kind of story, I have to give them props for. And the visuals, just like the first one, are fucking spectacular. The acting in this movie alone, I love everyone that performs in this movie. It is craziness. I give Andrew a lot of grief for liking movies. I'm just like, oh, I'm a connoisseur, so of course I like this. I feel like garbage liking this movie, but I fucking like this movie. I like it so hard. But there's no this is a movie that is impossible to defend because you cannot argue when people come at you and they're just like, all right, Damien, tell me what happens. You just have to hand wave out. It's like, all right, move on. Next question. What is the themes of this movie? You're just like, listen, man. Like, there's an argument to be made that only one team played hard. I can say that I don't give a shit. This movie, you're not supposed to end watching this movie with a smile on your face because it's not that type of movie. I finished watching this movie and there is a giant grin, a shitty eating grin on my face. I enjoyed all of what I saw. And I know it makes me a bad person. I know it. But holy shit, I like this movie. Boy, I like this movie. I liked it so much, part of me thinks I like the first Suspiria more. That is how much I like this movie. It is crazy. Also, I saw that the director of the first one is just like, they got this wrong. Fuck that guy. And his drug-fueled nightmare life.
I didn't even
life.
Know he was still alive.
Exactly. I thought the cocaine would have got him, but clearly it didn't. Let that man fuck off. Nothing. Listen, Douglas, you haven't seen the first Suspiria. There's nothing anyone could have done to that first movie that he would have gone. Yeah. Unless they literally took his movie and just put it through a filter where it like changed some of the colors. Because his movie, Douglas, no joke, he gives up telling a story halfway through that movie.
like not even pretending. He's just like, we're moving on. And at least this one, there's more story. There's something to like drag you through the visuals. But at some point, I was so impressed by everything that I saw and so enamored with the performances and just how fucking weird all of this shit was that it's not the same kind of movie, but it gave me the same feeling as the second half of Mandy, where you're just like, I don't know who told this director that this was okay, but I'm very happy that this I'm happy that this exists. Very, very happy that this exists. And a lot of people won't be. And I get it. This one I get. But yeah, I really do enjoy this new Suspiria. But Andrew's like, you and Andrew is literally the only two people I know in the world that I could ask to do this to themselves.
Yeah, man. And actually, based on what you've been saying, I'm definitely intrigued.
Oh, I'm real hyped. I'm real hyped.
And I feel like I will take the approach that you took.
Yeah.
Because maybe, do I just not like myself? I want to put myself through murder? But
It didn't feel like punishment. I will say that.
However.
Yes.
I will say this. The first half, Damon was dominant. Mm-hmm. And now we're moving into the second half of the game, the Suspiria Wars.
Yes.
And let's see what Andrew has to offer.
I'm actually quite happy that Damon loves this movie. Because it proves to me that he's a human being.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. That something exists over there. That it's not just him shouting Western over the fence. And then that's the end of his life. Right?
Say that.
To be fair, he also says fuck musicals.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like this movie has music in it, so I'll take it as a positive. And people are dancing, I'll take it.
Oh, there's some creepy bits in this movie that are fucking... It's skin crawling. It's like, oh my God.
Like, I mean, this is a movie, one of the movies that I keep telling myself I want to watch it again because I can't believe I didn't like it. Like, Damien, what you see is what I want to see.
Oh,
right? And I mean, I can hold on to the things that I know I definitively liked. It just came too late for me to... You know, when a movie brings it too late and you're already upset, right? Yeah. So, like, when you get to the final coven scene, right? Yeah. When everything goes wild.
Yeah, it's the patented Douglas folding arms.
Right? Like,
no movie.
I saw that and I was like, oh my God, I love this so much. But I just spent 2 hours to be upset.
Too late movie. You don't get to do this now.
There is the scene with the police officers that I love.
Yes.
Right? Like, there's so much about this movie that I knew I want to love it, but I don't know what it is. Maybe it's kind of like how we talk about the Sisters Brothers. We want to believe that we were in a bad mood. Right? But yeah, I want to watch this movie again, and I'm happy to hear you loved it.
I really think I did. I need to give it at least another watch to see if it might be on like my official reviewed top 10 of 2018. But yeah, like Leave No Trace is definitely on there, but this one I need some more evidence.
I'm so happy I got some back at you for that fucking movie.
Dog, Leave No Trace is fucking magic. Yeah. Leave No Trace, I will dig my feet in and die on that hill defending that movie. There's no defense. Like, you don't have...
So will Ben Foster.
You don't have anything to prop you up with, Suspiria. You're on your own. Just drowning in the ocean. Just, I don't know, dog. I don't know. Yeah. So, Douglas,
Yes, sir.
What are the movies that you've seen repeatedly that you've come here to tell us that you've seen again?
Well, actually, I watched two movies.
I need to update Letterboxd. It's only when I come here I remember.
Yes, I never see your Letterboxd anymore. Yeah. But I made one mistake and I did one... Well, I don't know what the other one was. But let's talk about the mistake.
Okay.
Because I am a sucker for punishment. I like pain.
Mistake.
Remember how before we spoke about the movies that I was watching, mm-hmm. I started watching Indiana Jones.
Yes.
Then I went to The Mummies, which despite my not realizing it, was really just an extension of that franchise.
Yes.
And we then spoke about... You know, I laughed and said, ho, 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 I haven't watched the third one. And you immediately said, don't watch it.
Yeah,
you
remember that? I was very clear.
You remember that?
I was explicit.
You were.
Very much so.
Yes, you were.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't believe you.
Douglas, we're talking about The Mummy. Like, if the third one had anything
Damian,
worth seeing,
so
I'd have gone.
As soon as I started watching this movie, I knew I had a problem. Because I made a grave mistake. So when I started watching this movie, I had to stop it for a second and search like news items that came out when this movie came out about things, because I remember watching the trailer and thinking that there were different people in this movie than there were. And not that there were different actual people, but that, for example, I knew, and I said it on the podcast, I knew that Rachel Weisz was not in this film.
Yes.
Despite my watching trailers, and I'm sure names would have been called in these trailers, and, you know, snuggles would have been had in these trailers, I thought because she wasn't in the movie, that means her character was either dead or divorced from the man, and that they had just found another woman. I thought Maria Bello, who is in this movie, mm-hmm. I thought she was just somebody else.
Right.
Like, a replacement for the mechanics or, right. or the story requirements
of
that
having.
Rachel Weisz was without necessarily being Rachel Weisz. And maybe they were in a relationship, but it was more just like, I am the female counter. I'm the female lead, right? Apparently that's not the case. Apparently they just straight up replaced her with Maria Bello. and that took some getting used to. I have to tell you, there was a strong moment when Brendan Fraser is riding a horse without a head and he calls his son by all three of his names. And whenever you call your son by his middle name, you know, you're in trouble. And that kind of got a smile from me. But there was nothing else to this
Douglas,
movie.
And you could literally make up anything and tell me and I wouldn't.
Damian, they grossly misused. Jet Li is in this movie, right?
I remember that.
No, I thought, and at the time, Jet Li was pretty huge, right?
He was still Jet Li.
Yeah. So I thought he would actually be in this movie. So if you count his monster person, who, by the way, does not look like him, though I imagine at the time in 2008.
CG couldn't get it done.
Yeah. It was probably, maybe they did motion capture. I don't know. But it didn't even look like him. It was just a statue that moved. And then when he became him, he never actually fought.
Yeah, I do remember that.
He would
yeah.
like start to punch somebody and then change into like a tiger. And there was only one fight scene for about, if I'm being generous, I'll call it 30 seconds. How can you just waste talent like Jet Li like that? How?
Again, you can... If you told me that there was Godzilla in this shit...
Did you not watch this? I thought you watched
No,
it.
I did.
Oh, yeah.
But it was so long ago yeah. and I was so upset. Douglas, here's how hard I went to watch this. I saw this movie at Carib.
Oh, wow.
It was
well,
the only time.
By 09, we still. I don't think you had this. No, sorry, 08. I don't think you had this Carib problem.
Even so, I remember going to Carib and watching that movie. And that's the last time I saw that movie. Because that movie.
Oh, terrible.
But I remember saying clearly,
yeah,
not
you did
to do this.
Yeah, you did. I did say that. So I had to wash my mouth out.
Wash your eyes.
Yeah. Metaphorically speaking. And mm-hmm. I did so with The Old Man and the Gun. And yeah, so the thing about this movie is, if somebody made a DC, mm-hmm. I'd fucking love it. Because it has all the right things. It has the I am Robert Redford, I am a Robert Redford type character, mm-hmm. and I do Robert Redford type character type things in it.
How many
perfect
times?
Perfect.
Do you need to see this movie?
With him.
I know. And I really loved it up to a point. And that point is the end. I was not happy with the end of this film. And I know what they're trying to do. First of all, they claim that it's a true story. I don't know how
accurate
they're being, right? I don't know how much.
Wait. How is it you even pretend to like this movie then?
Well, didn't I say up until the end?
Right. He liked where Robert Redford did his stick for the 8,000 times.
But so I don't know how much they're holding to whatever the truth of this story is. I haven't researched it. I really don't care. And I was listening to Maran's
I like
podcast.
How Douglas says this as if I expect him to research these things at this point.
I know, right? I was listening to Maran's podcast where he interviewed Aaron Sorkin, who said something fun, which I think should be how people look at movies like this. Because, you know, he's done quite a few, actually,
yes.
and very, very famous biopics, right?
Yes.
Jobs, Facebook, mm-hmm. etc. Mm-hmm. And he said something, let me try if I can remember the exact words. He said that something like, I'm not faithful to the fact, I'm faithful to the story, mm-hmm. or something like that, which is essentially means like, if the guy was drinking beer and not drinking vodka. If the guy, you know, had a conversation like that, but maybe not the specific conversation, then mm-hmm. he doesn't care, right?
Yeah.
It's about making it cinematic,
right.
making
it's
watchable,
about making the story.
And being faithful to the general gist of whatever the fuck is going on.
As he said, he did it with Jobs and the Facebook thing, and where he's just like, listen. You people can get bogged down in the details.
Right. Right. Which is probably why I love both of those movies.
Yeah, because it's better than
right? And other movies where it seems that they do that, or maybe those people are just that exciting. Then I like those kind of biopics as well, right? And this one looked like it almost did that, except in the end, where the man goes to prison and then comes out, and then it feels like it just immediately morphed. And I know a lot of people will tell me, but it always was a Hallmark movie because just the Redford has been around so long and has done the same thing so many times that you could argue that he has hit Hallmark movie status, right? He is kind of a parody of himself.
Yeah.
But I just like that character. So I'm good with it.
I'm just waiting for just like there's Chuck Norris memes, I'm waiting for the Robert Redford memes.
Yeah.
Like he's just Clint Eastwood, just not in name.
Yeah, but he's Clint Eastwood without the fall off in the sense that
I'm not talking about current day Clint Eastwood.
Oh, okay.
I just talk about when you, in your mind's eye, when you think of Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, there's one thing.
Right. Yeah, and absolutely. It's the same thing with Robert.
Yeah. I agree with that. But in the end, they did the Hallmark thing where, you know, he goes to prison, he comes out, and he tries.
Yeah, it's
he tries. Yeah, and he's like, guess what? I'm going to have to do... I'm going to be me! Mm-hmm. And there was just something about it that immediately I wanted to throw up. But at the same time, there was a piece in the back of my mind where I was like, but this makes sense, and it works, and it's fine, and whatever. But boy...
It's not what I wanted.
I feel like I would have much preferred a movie where he goes to prison and tries to break out again. Especially because, and I thought as I was watching this movie, so this movie, I haven't even talked about what this movie is about. This movie is about an old man with a gun.
Wait, have you seen, do you know who Robert Redford is? You've seen this movie.
Yeah, he's a bank robber who escapes from bank, from banks, what's wrong with me? From prisons.
First of all, it's escape.
Escape. Thank you. So he escaped a lot. And you kind of learn, so how the movie is structured is, I'm trying to figure out whose style. Is it like, would Soderbergh do something like this with the whole time, the way that they just did
probably.
I think so, right? So almost like a crappy director that Andrew watches a lot of. Mm-hmm. They kind of timestamp everything and they make it into almost snippets as opposed to like, but the movie is structured in snippets, but still feels like it is, it flows well narratively, which, as we know from another director Andrew watches avidly, the Ron Terry G, that doesn't work all the time.
Oh my
right?
God.
Exhibit A, Tree of Life. Yes. But you know, when shit, I've lost my train of thought, but
too much abs for the wrong territory.
So what I was really saying is he escapes a lot from prison. And when I was watching this movie, because he obviously is 100 years old, I just assumed that either one, he eventually paid his time and got out, but liked robbing banks.
Mm-hmm.
Or as the movie developed, because at first you don't realize he's like an escapee, right? As the movie develops and you see that he's escaped and they talk about how many times he's escaped, I said, oh, the last time he escaped, he was maybe 40, you know, a reasonable age, and he's just not good at not getting caught again. No, that's not the case. This man escaped, like, you actually see, and I really want to know how they did it. I feel like at least the first escape, the first escape that they show film, that must be from another movie. There's no way.
No, yeah, they do that. They clip from other movies that he was in.
Yeah.
I think there might be one where they probably did some reacting with a younger person the way they shot it.
Yeah.
But there's like a couple in there where it's legit like older Robert Redford movies they've clipped.
Oh, awesome. Okay. And that made me laugh again. When I saw him, like, and it, that was true young Robert Redford. Yeah. I was like, oh, come on, this is the best.
And oddly enough that you mentioned that, there's only one other movie I can think of that's done something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a Steven Soderbergh movie.
Yes.
If you've ever seen this movie called The Limey.
I have not seen it, but I wanted to see it at the time, I remember. Is it good?
It is so fucking good. Terrence Stamp.
Sorry, did you say grimy?
No. The Limey. Limey. Terrence Stamp is basically just running around having revenge on people. And there's a point where like they cut to the past and they use a scene from an older Terrence Stamp movie for that scene instead of doing any other shenanigans.
Mm-hmm. Hey, 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 hey.
That one's okay. So and so as I'm talking this through, actually, my love for this movie is coming back to me because that's fine. Really love this movie. But yeah. Then, you know, so you see him actually escape at like, let's call it 60 by building a boat, which is just
hilarious.
And I'm fine with that too. But once that came into play, once that is now a part of the truth that is in this film, the next step is for this guy to be like, all right, time to get to work. And literally, what if this movie had ended right there, right? He goes to prison, and even if he says the words, time to get to work, and he turns around and like fiddles with something at shop or something,
you'd be like, perfect.
Perfect. But just the fucking way that it bookends, goddamn. I was just upset. as upset at ending this film.
There's a chance that a year or so from now, I'll be watching this movie and go, oh, this is definitely what I want.
Mm-hmm.
More Robert Redford.
Mm-hmm.
But I watched that movie.
I do love Robert Redford, though.
Yeah, no, I get it.
And you know what it is, too? I remember the first... It was not the first Robert Redford movie I'd seen. I'd seen a number of them before. But, you know, you're young, you don't associate things, right? Because I believe I had actually watched... Yeah, I'd watched Butch Dance, my God.
Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
I'd watched that from before, and I think I'd seen The Natural, which I only really properly watched recently. And, of course, guess what? But the first one, and I think it's a great movie to start with, because it shows there are movies where Redford tries to be serious but still charming, and so the charm kind of makes it feel almost like there's a bit of fun, like it's almost funny, right? But Sneakers is a movie where it's straight up, and I love your response. So once I said the word Sneakers, Damien's mouth just twitched into a smile.
It
was an automatic response, and because for whatever reason his mind, he's like, I'm on the fuck Robert Redford trail today. You saw him try and pull it back, but he couldn't.
Sneakers
is so good. It brings together everything that is Robert Redford. His kind of half, he does action without doing action. He's the kind of guy like, he's almost like, even when he was 20, he did action scenes the way that Liam Neeson does action scenes now, right? Yeah. So they film around him, and when, you know, Tom Cruise would be doing this, he'd run at full tilt and do jumps and flips and shit. Like, Robert Redford always seems like he's jogging. He always seems like he's at ease, and there's no pressure in every single one of his movies that he has to do anything physical like that. And that's a part of his charm.
This is terrible to say, but like, he does action like Steven Seagal does action.
But in a good way.
Yes, but in a good way.
Like, but in their defense...
He's not karate, man.
No.
At his way, time, that's how did action, with the exception of like Jackie Chan.
Yeah. I guess.
And Bruce Leroy.
But I'm singling him out because I love him so much. But that movie in particular, it actually is, it's a straight up comedy. And it shows what his full range, which is jog and joke. Jogs and jokes. That's Robert Redford.
That's my new band name.
Yep.
Right? We're touring. We're planning to go to Coachella this year.
But yeah, so I 90% love this movie.
Listen, you 100% love Robert Redford.
Yes,
and
I
this
do.
Movie could have been any.
And that's about all I've seen this week.
No, I got you. I get it. I got you.
Andrew, what have you been doing?
I saw yesterday. Not Chelsea manager.
Man, you finally didn't win a game. It's sad.
Ho-ho.
The win streak ended.
Well, enjoy relegation.
Yep. We were going to win the league and now we're relegated. It's so sad. What should I talk about? I watched some documentaries, which means I didn't watch anything.
Boo. Don't tell me you watch the Fire Festival documentaries.
Nope. I don't have that much courage.
Good.
Did
you watch Planet Earth 2?
Nope.
Did you watch Blue Planet?
Nope.
What other documentaries exist?
Which is why I didn't watch anything.
Were
so
there
moving on to the next
in
thing.
The documentaries?
No, they were not.
What?
No. I did get around to seeing Cold War.
Did you? How is that? That's one that I wanted to have watched before our top 10 movie.
Can you guys stop making up movies? I don't know what Cold War is.
This is the new Pavel Pavlikovsky. I'm ruining his name. The guy who made Ida.
That's
the new film that he's made, and I quite like it. it's basically a sad European version of Harry Met Sally is the best way to pitch it. Oh, right. Wow.
Is that these the same girl from Idol?
I don't know. I didn't look it up to see if it's actually the same woman who was in Idol.
Nice. That's not nice at all, Andrew.
Actually, it does say she's in Idol, so yeah. I guess it probably is.
You had one job.
I got you this far. I didn't give you shit for all of the movies you watched. I asked you to cross-reference everything you watched. Can you please get the fuck off? What movie was I talking about?
Cold War.
But yeah.
The cold air over there is making Andrew very spicy. You can come to listen. Jamaica is cold
for me,
but we actually have weather. It's in digits.
That don't have a negative in front of it. You can come back. Right. So you say it's Harry Met Sally, but I assume in the Cold War period. Which one of them is from what side of Germany? Or is it not the sides of Germany that is? Is it like... Because I assume there's some cross-country beef. That is why the love is forbidden. Is that what's happening?
So the two of them are from Poland.
Okay.
And it happens during the Cold War. And they're both musicians. She's like a singer who's come to like the school, and he's like a conductor/composer guy, making all of the music, and they fall in love, and eventually like they break apart as people decide to jump ship and go to other countries in Europe. Right. And during the Cold War, that wasn't very nicely enjoyed, especially by the Eastern European countries. Mm-hmm. So their romance had trouble in being geographically close for most of the movie. So it becomes about just as years goes on, like them getting back together and you being there for that minute or two or that day. And then you jump forward a few more years and it's another incident. And it's one of those movies, and I really like this movie for all the reasons you'd imagine I would like a movie from the guy who made Ida. It is, once again, really well shot and really well put together. It
looks real pretty.
Yes, and the music is on point. Like, it's so strange to me how in movies like this, because in the first third of the movie, which you don't see any in the trailer, there's a lot of music and performances that are meant to be showing off the rural areas of Poland and the music, the folk music they would be singing. And he can just have a camera there and these staged performances happening, and it just looks so fucking gorgeous. Right, and it's one of those moments where you see these things in movies, and you're transfixed, thinking that something so simple could really engage you in this way, and I really loved it for all of those reasons, and just the two of them, their relationship as it goes throughout the movie, I expected to like this movie. I don't think it's as good as Ida. I think it's close. But yeah, it's a sad Harry Met Sally in Poland, in black and white, in Polish.
Okay. In Polish. Great. yeah, listen, he made Idol, so he gets a free pass. I'll watch, whatever he asks me to watch, because I don't have the willpower to say no. At least not.
I guess otherwise, in more relevant movie conversation, I finally rewatched Popstar Never Stop Popping. Never Stopping.
Yes.
I've decided I made a mistake and I like this movie now.
Yeah, you have to.
You can't watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine and then look at me and go, I don't like pop star. You're full of shit. It's ridiculous.
That movie's amazing.
Yeah. All right.
Listen. I also rewatched Take Shelter. I still like that movie.
Oh, boy.
I still hate the ending. Oh, I thought I was over it.
Yeah, you still not? Right.
Like that, like last 5 seconds?
Yes.
Right? I thought I was over it. I'm still not.
No, nope. Still love it.
But I still love that movie. I spent more time paying attention to Jessica Chastain, and she's mm-hmm. great. I need a wife like Jessica Chastain. So when I go crazy, yes. She's like, I'll help you.
Also, she's beautiful. That doesn't hurt. There's also that. Boy, I love that movie. But I know not to talk about like the amount of times I watch certain movies.
I don't think I've actually seen that movie since the year it came out.
Yeah.
So it's been a while for me. But it was strange to me because I remembered while I was watching this movie, I'm like, I remembered being upset at something about this movie and forgetting what it was. Uh-huh. And then the end rolled around again. I'm like, fuck, that's what it was.
You know what you can do? You can delete that ending so that the next time you're like, I remember not liking something about this movie and then never seeing what it is. Like me and Source Code. Oh. That time we watched Source Code, I think it was on Netflix or whatever, and I saw that the movie didn't end at the train scene. It's like, what the shit? I lost my mind. Who did this?